Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13.
One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because the man's boldness, he will get up and give him such as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Please leave your Bibles open there. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we pray that you would guide us this morning, that we would hear from you, that you would convict our hearts, that you would challenge us by your word, and that you would remind us of the immense blessing it is to be able to approach the throne of grace with confidence, to be able to come before you as your children, to be able to make requests to you. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the 1800s, to be a gospel worker among the nations usually meant leaving your own country, your own place of birth, and heading to another place that you'd never been to before. It meant leaving your support network, leaving your family and your friends behind, and travelling to a place where you would have little to no support from anyone else, and little contact, if any, with the outside world. If you found yourself in trouble, well, there's only one you could rely on. It would mean trusting solely in your Heavenly Father for your every need. Hudson Taylor, he was one of the first missionaries to ever share the gospel in China. And even as Hudson Taylor made his way there, well, the ship that he was on found itself in incredible danger. The wind, being a sailing ship, the wind had stopped and it had started to drift towards a large exposed coral reef. But if that wasn't bad enough, this coral reef was right near an island where there was known to be inhabited by cannibals. And they were so close to this island, they could even see these cannibals lighting fires on the shore. The captain and the crew had tried everything they could, all of the right kinds of things to try and direct the ship away, but without any wind, there was nothing that they could do. But it was then when Hudson realised there was something they could do. 4 of the people on board had faith in Jesus. And so Hudson went to them and encouraged them to go to their rooms and to pray to the Lord, asking for him to send a wind straight away. They boldly and unashamedly asked him to send that breeze right now, not that the wind would come up sometime, but that it would come up right then. And once they had done that, in faith, Hudson went upstairs, up down to the deck, and he told the first officer, the man in charge of all the sailors, to let down the sails. Hudson wrote in his journal, "I told him we had been asking a wind from God and that it was coming immediately. Within minutes, the wind began to blow and it carried the ship safely away from this reef." They're out of danger. But sadly, we often act a lot more like the captain and the crew of that ship than we do like Hudson and those four believers. We tend to do what they did, do everything we could possibly do, and when we run out of things that we can do, then we go to prayer. We trust in our abilities, our resources, our connections to get us through those hard times. Or maybe we go to a trusted friend and ask for their wisdom. We go as far as we can. We do everything we can think of on our own. And it isn't until we've exhausted all those things that we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Many of us, if not all of us as adults, find it really hard to ask for help. I know most guys do. I know I do. But children rarely suffer from this problem. Children ask their parents for everything that they want or need. They understand that their parents want to provide for all of their needs, and so they ask without fear and without reservation. Well, in this morning's passage, Jesus' disciples are asking him to teach them how to pray. And as Jesus teaches them to pray, he encourages them to ask like little children, depending on their parents, to ask God for all of their needs without fear and without reservation. So let's get into verses 1-4. In those verses, we're being shown that our Heavenly Father wants to provide for all of our needs. As this morning's passage begins, as I said, the disciples have just asked Jesus how to pray. And that in itself is really significant. It shows that the disciples knew where their provisions were coming from. It wasn't their own strength, their own wisdom, their own abilities. It was God they needed to rely on. They knew that if they wanted to walk with the Lord, they needed to rely on their Heavenly Father. So Jesus gave them this example of how to pray. Now, this isn't a prescribed prayer that we're supposed to parrot off. We're not supposed to memorize this prayer and just bring it out any old time when we need to pray. This is an example of how God wants us to pray. A bit of a template, put it that way. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. The Lord's example of prayer begins with the Father's holiness. It's about his power and his authority. It makes a lot of sense, because what's the point of praying to him unless he holds such power and authority? It is designed to remind us who it is that we are speaking to when we approach the Lord in prayer. And then we're encouraged to bring our prayers and petitions to the Lord. Our daily bread. We can pray to the Father for any or all of our human physical needs, for food, for shelter, for whatever else it is that we need in this life. Forgive us our sins. This is a recognition that we have all fallen short of God's glory. We all need forgiveness. But it's also a recognition that God is merciful and that he wants to forgive. Lead us not into temptation. Well, this is a prayer that the Lord would protect us from the temptations of the evil one, that he would help us to avoid the temptations of our own human nature and instead lead us on the path to life, following in the footsteps of Jesus. By providing this example of prayer, Jesus is showing those who trust in our Heavenly Father that he wants to provide for all of our needs. In verses 5 to 10, Jesus explains that our Heavenly Father wants us to boldly bring our prayers and petitions to him. Now, in some ways, the Lord's Prayer has just set us up for these verses. It's given us a paradigm to understand how to come before the Lord and make our prayers and our petitions. In these verses, Jesus tells a short parable, a story describing the way we should come to the Lord in prayer. Now, in this parable, a man goes to a friend's house at midnight to ask him to help out with a need. Now, I'm not sure if they're still friends by the end of this parable, but they do start out as friends. The man in need has another guest who's dropped by, and so he's caught out. He doesn't have the food that he needs to give this guest. And because he has this need, he goes to his friend asking for bread. He boldly went to the house of one of his friends who he knew would have what he needed, and without fear of the consequences, he asked his friend for what he needed. Now, as Westerners, we're quite individualistic. We all have our own bedrooms and those kinds of things. That is not the image that's going on here. Okay, this is the image of usually they'd all be in one room. It would be parents, grandparents, and children all in the one room, probably on the one mat asleep in the middle of the night. This was an audacious request. He wasn't just asking this friend to get up and help him out. He was asking him to wake his whole family up, to wake them all up and just to fulfill his request. He was asking this friend to do far more than what you would normally expect a friend to do. And so the friend, well, not surprisingly replied, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked. And my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." Well, this friend, he had a good excuse. This is a reasonable response under the circumstances. Their friendship alone wasn't enough to make him fulfill this request. But Jesus says, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. The reason that this friend did what was asked was because of how boldly he was asked, not because of their friendship. He probably thought to himself, this guy must expect that I have what he needs and that I will do this for him. If I give it to him, I have a chance of going back to sleep. But if I don't, he's only going to keep on asking and asking till everyone's awake. This parable is encouraging believers to boldly come before the Lord with our prayers and our petitions. And we can come to him boldly because we can expect that he will do these things for us. Jesus said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus is encouraging us to bring our requests to the Father, just as a little child does to their earthly parents. Imagine you're invited to someone's home for dinner. You'd enjoyed your meal, you'd had all sorts of wonderful conversations. The meal was over and there was no dessert. Would you dare ask them for dessert? I'm guessing that most of us wouldn't. Instead, we'd be happy with what we were given. We'd be far too afraid of causing some sort of offense. Maybe our host hadn't prepared dessert. But a child speaking to a loving father wouldn't even think twice about the possibility of causing offense. Children are very comfortable asking their parents for whatever they need. In fact, it's very rare for us to have a meal in our house without one of our kids asking if they can have dessert. They ask boldly, they ask without fear of the consequences. And if we just happen to say yes, then there's usually a follow-up question. They ask for more. Like, can we have sprinkles, or can we have chocolate topping, or can we have whatever it is? They ask for more because they expect that more might be possible. And it's this same kind of boldness that Jesus is encouraging us to have towards our Heavenly Father as we bring our prayers and our petitions to him. In verses 11 to 13, Jesus explains that our Heavenly Father only gives good gifts to those who trust in him. Jesus then asked the question, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? So we hear those words, we're meant to understand that this is a ridiculous picture. Of course, no father who loves their children would do this. This isn't something that a good parent would do. Fathers who love their children work hard to keep their children safe. A loving father wants to protect their children and provide for them rather than place them in harm's way. The son here is simply asking for food. He's asking for something that he needs. The image here is of this child being given a snake or a scorpion, something that will cause him harm. Jesus continues in verse 13 saying, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is saying, though you are sinful, even though that our understanding of right and wrong is not always trustworthy, even though we are like that, we are able to give good gifts to our children. Even we are able to discern what they need from what will harm them. What Jesus is saying is that if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more should we be able to trust our Heavenly Father, who has no sin whatsoever, to provide for all of our needs, to be able to tell the difference between what is good for us and what won't be good for us. Our Heavenly Father wants us to grow and mature in him. He doesn't want to make life hard for us. He wants to give us what we need to grow in our walk with him. He wants us to ask him to have a greater influence in our lives. He wants us to depend on him. He wants to give us good things, and he wants us to ask him. In this morning's passage, Jesus has been encouraging those who trust in him to bring our prayers and our petitions to our Heavenly Father. This is the same thing that the writer of Hebrews is saying in Hebrews 4, verse 16, when he says, Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Our Heavenly Father isn't a distant God who created the world and who's now sitting back watching to see what'll happen. He is intimately involved in his creation and in our lives. God is sovereign, which means that everything that happens in our lives is within his control. Nothing happens that's outside of his control. And he wants those who trust in him to bring their prayers and their requests to him. He wants us to pour out our hearts to him, to tell him about the things that are worrying us, the things that we are struggling with, the things that we just don't understand. He doesn't want us to be scared or embarrassed about us asking him for things. He wants us to go to him boldly. He wants us to feel welcome to approach him, like a child makes requests of a loving earthly father. The interesting thing about prayer, the important thing for us to grasp about prayer, is that when we pray, we acknowledge that we are not in control of anything. We are not in control of anything. We acknowledge that God is sovereign and is in control of all things. We might think we're in control sometimes. We might even feel like we're in control sometimes. But when we pray, we're giving up the control that we sometimes think we have and recognizing the authority and the power of the one who is really in control. Prayer is an incredible gift, because when we pray, we have the opportunity to speak with the only one who is able to work all things together for his glory and for our good. Our loving Heavenly Father, who wants to give us good things. He loves us and has displayed his love for us through his one and only Son. He desires to give us more of his Spirit. He desires to give us more of him. And he wants us to ask. Sometimes you might hear people say things like, "Be careful what you pray for," which makes it sound as though we can't trust God to give us good things. You might at times hear people say things like, "We should be careful not to pray for patience, because God is likely to put someone really annoying around us." You need to be careful not to pray for perseverance, because God might put you in some kind of terrible trial. And while that may possibly be true sometimes, we need to trust our Heavenly Father. We need to trust that he can be trusted to give us good gifts. He is good, and he wants what is best for us, even if we may not recognize those gifts as good gifts at the time. This morning's passage is encouraging us to be bold in our prayer life, to ask things that only a child of God would dare ask their Heavenly Father. I think sometimes as conservative Christians, we have a tendency to limit what we ask God for. We have a tendency to only ask God for things that we think he might do anyway. We sometimes, possibly subconsciously, limit our prayers to things that we can picture him doing. But that doesn't seem to be what Jesus is encouraging us to do in these verses. In fact, he seems to be doing the very opposite. In reality, any request we make of our Heavenly Father is an audacious request, because it's only through the life, death, and resurrection of God's one and only Son that we are able to approach the throne of grace with confidence. And yet, Jesus is encouraging us to boldly come to the Father in prayer, asking for things that only a child would ask of their father. And what is it that only a child would ask of their father? Well, it's more of him. The most audacious request we could make of our Heavenly Father is for more of him. Who is man that God would be mindful of him? Who are we as God's mere humble creations, as his mere creatures, to make requests of the creator of the universe? Well, we are his children. If we're struggling with doubt, well, we can ask him to reveal more of himself. If we're worried or stressed, we can ask for his peace, for the peace that passes understanding. An earthly child knows that their parents are likely to give, and they ask for more. We can ask for more. And as sons and daughters of the living God, we are being encouraged to ask for more. More of the Holy Spirit in our lives, for a greater dependence on him, but also for him to do a mighty work of his Spirit in our lives, in the lives of our friends and our family, in our community and in our region. As children of our Heavenly Father, may we boldly come before the Lord in prayer. May we approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence and make requests of the King that only the Son of the King, a child of the King, would dare make. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have often limited our prayers to things that we can picture you doing. We have often chosen not to leap out in faith and to trust that you will catch us. Lord, we pray for boldness in our prayer life. We pray for a greater dependence on you. We pray that you would help us to approach the throne of grace like a child approaches a loving father without fear. And we pray that you would help us to ask for more. We pray that you would help us to ask for more of you, for more of your Spirit. We pray that you might do a mighty work in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.